Welcome to the Passive Income Podcast. I am your host, Dividend Dave. Please be sure to join the Passive Income Posse by clicking that subscribe button below. Joining me on this episode, you know I'm on Twitter, at Carbon Copy, with two Ks, Carbon Copy. Let's welcome Tim to this episode. Tim, why don't you give yourself a bit of an introduction?
Hey, everybody. Dave, want to first thank you for having me on. My name's Tim. I am active on Twitter as Carbon Copy, or the Dividend Aficionado. Been trading for about 2-3 years, and I'm still learning. But, you know, I love our community. I think the DivTwit community is awesome, kind of, you know, just praise and, you know, really just kind of, you know, making sure that everybody's doing the right thing and, you know, propping each other up and making sure that, you know, like high fives all around. You know, I love this DivTwit community. So
I love the supportiveness, like the support in the entire community of everybody.
Yeah.
You know, right. Whether somebody posts, oh, I made a dollar in a dividend, everybody's like, right. Wow, that's amazing. Or if somebody posts $10 or $100 or $1,000 or whatever it is, everybody's just like, really, you know, pumping each other's tires and just being very supportive of each other and right. Helping each other grow and helping each other learn. So yeah, it's I agree. It's amazing.
You got guys who, you know, put up like really big numbers, you know, and that's inspirational in of itself. You know, I know Sandstone Dave, you know, a good friend of mine, was just on.
Yep.
Is one of those guys that lives that fire life, right? He's retired. He's doing phenomenal. You know, he posts up good numbers. And I think that's a phenomenal benchmark to try to hit that fire life, right? To retire. I mean, we all dream about it. So
yeah.
Like, he's living that, right? How cool is that?
Yeah, it's amazing.
Right. And then you have like, you have the guys, yeah, they're posting, they made like $2, $3 on Starbucks dividends, you know, recently. And I, praise wise, I think that they're both equally awesome.
Exactly.
I think somebody's at the start of their journey or they're making their way through it. And then, you know, that's obviously the end goal. So I love to see everything in between. And that's kind of why I started posting it first. I was thinking, nobody cares about my $5. but I got like a bunch of praise and
yeah.
It really made me feel good, you know? And I was like, you know, everybody's on their own journey. So if you can take inspiration from somebody else, you know, like Dave, or taking some inspiration from somebody who's just starting. I think we all kind of feed off of that. So it's really awesome to see the entire spectrum.
Yeah, I'd agree that we find inspiration at both ends of that spectrum, whether it's somebody right. saying a dollar or $5 or $1,000 is like, oh, wow, somebody just made like Dividend John just posted the $1,600 in Royal Bank. And it's like, wow, that's amazing. Just one right. one company no. paid you $1,600 just this quarter. So, you know, that's an amazing benchmark. And like you said, very inspirational. And then the same
thing like,
goes for those $1 and $2. Sorry, go ahead.
Right. No, I was saying like him and Nick and Dream Dividend, you know, they're slaying it, you know?
Yeah.
It's so cool to see that. It's like when you're paying your electrical bill, you know, if you own stock in the electrical company, you're almost getting paid, right? Like you're kind of paying your bill with money from the company. I love how that works. That's just fun.
Turn the cash register around.
Hell yeah. Absolutely.
So here in Ontario, it's actually called Hydro One, the company that provides power to the majority, like 95% or 98% of Ontario. And so, mm-hmm. I've started a position in that. Slowly dollar cost averaging in, only have a few shares so far, right. But that's exactly the idea is, you know, eventually someday they're going to pay me to pay them.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, every time I pass a Chevron, you know, it's like, I see the, you know, the place packed up, everybody filling up with gas. You know, that money's going in my pocket every quarter. Right. So
nice.
I love the lines, you know, do it. Yeah. Yep.
Just circling back to what we were talking about there, some of the people posting, you know, saying $1, $2, $5. And those I find inspirational as well because they've started and everybody is, you know, saying, hey, that's great that you've started. That's great. And just watch that snowball grow because that snowball grows quicker than you think. You know, that $5 turns into 10 and then that 10 turns into 20, 25 turns into 50 and so on. Right. So, and as we know, the years go by pretty quick.
they do, you know, like I'll talk a little bit more about my journey coming up here, but, I only started doing dividends a couple of years ago. You know, I have my retirement account with my actual, you know, employer.
Right.
But I tried, I started that whole other thing, and you know, I really got into it. I guess I could just jump into it, Dave. I got into it because when I started trading, you know, during the pandemic, I was bored just like everybody else. And I was like, what can I do? You know, I've heard about trading. I'm like, I'm going to try my hat at this, you know? And I jumped in both feet, you know, just total cannonball from, you know, 5 miles up, and I went splat. And I did everything wrong. You know, I think everybody here has been on their own journey, but I think I did everything wrong. I blindly took trades. I joined all the Discords you could think of. And I really hit the pause button. And I was like, what am I doing wrong? You know, it's like, maybe this just isn't for me. You know, it's kind of like, I don't go to the casino normally. So why am I doing it here?
Right.
I want something more steady. And so I started following guys like, you know, Lanny and Burt, the Dividend Diplomats. I started following like DC Dividend, you know, my buddy Tim. I started following these guys and I realized that there's a whole nother world out there for dividends. I had heard of it, but
sure.
I'm like, you know, like it's a dollar, you know, who cares, man? But you know what? The community is infectious. And so like, I was like, you know what? I'm going to jump in. I'm going to check this out. I'm going to try it. And over the years, it's gone from, you know, 55 cents, you know, a month or something like that to, you know, like maybe 30, 40 bucks and up to $400 now. So it's happening, right? Like you think yeah. about it, that's a car payment. That's so awesome. That's money just for holding the asset, right? That's all you're doing. Mm-hmm. And then expanding beyond that, you know, the rest of the community, you know, I guess I'll give a quick couple of shout outs. Number one, yourself and everybody else who does these phenomenal videos, because reading something is one thing. I think listening about it, like listening to, you know, Sansone Dave, his journey, Dividend Stockpile, you know, Jeremy, right? His,
yeah.
Dividend John, all of them, you know, like I know I'm leaving people out, but I've listened to all, or watched all of the videos, and it's awesome to sit there and go through somebody's journey, like how they actually got there, right? You got guys like Dividend Dog, right? Who's totally slaying it. Love that dude. And you got Dividend Hulk, Rock Finance, Master P was on. Master P was phenomenal video. I love that video. Dairy Dividends, right? Sophie Maple Wang, she's always commenting and just really being positive out there. It's all these people combined, you know, it's so much fun to see all these people posting their different things and going down that road. And I just want to, like, again, a huge shout out for you and others, like, you know, like Dividend Dog and some of the other guys who do this stuff, to really just put it out there, because I watch those videos. I get ideas from those videos.
Yeah,
I know I have to do my own due diligence, right? I mean, that's kind of part of being a dividend investor, an investor in general, is doing our own work. But I you know, I sit there and I'm like, you know, that's a really interesting idea. You know, Disney Beach on Twitter posts a bunch of different challenges, right? He has the SCHD challenge, he has the VO challenge, and it's something where, like, it's $5 a day or something easy to get started, right? But it's mm-hmm. it makes it kind of, it gamifies, like it's just kind of fun, but it's not costing you a lot, right? And if he had to put that out there, I'd probably be buying a share here or there. But now I joined this challenge and I'm kind of having fun with it.
Nice. Fun. So, yeah, like you said, you know, myself and others that are doing these types of podcasts and videos, and, we're learning so much from each other, learning about each other's right. journeys and what they're doing. And I've said this in past, I'm sure you've heard me say, it's like, it's great that we're all sharing ideas and different strategies. And if somebody can take something, like you just said, you can take something, learn something from it, maybe apply that mm-hmm. to your own strategy. Again, do your own due diligence, do your own research and figure out what works for you. But just sure. sharing all of these ideas and everybody being so positive about everything, you know, that's probably yeah. the number one thing I love about the DivTwit community is just the positivity. Like, everybody is so positive. There's hardly ever any negativity. And the negativity yeah, that is right. there is more constructive criticism, like, oh, maybe you might want to think about this, right? Like,
right, because, you know, like, you've seen me post about, you know, there and others post about, sometimes you have like a mix of your portfolio is diversified, right? But you have a mix of like high dividends, and people are like, why don't you just pile all your money into that? Well, let me explain my idea behind this, right? And
sure.
hopefully they got something from that. I always, you know, I'm as yourself, I'm highly interactive with the community, and I love like engaging with people. I'll almost respond to almost everybody because I feel like they took the time to respond to me. I want to respond to them and let them know, A, I saw it, And B, if they have a question, I'd love to, like, maybe I learned something that can help them out. So toss it out there.
Yeah. Yeah. Same. Like, you know, I try to interact with as many people as possible. Sometimes it's hard to keep up, but you know,
it is. Yeah. I sometimes, you know, like, yeah, it is. Yeah. Yeah.
And speaking of shout outs, before we go any further, let's give a shout out to Buy Investing Shirts. Link will That's be in awesome. The description. Use code word posse. And
I love
let's
shirt,
just keep
Dave.
Going.
I was
gonna
say,
sorry.
Yeah. No, I said, I love your shirt. It's awesome.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Right. So,
yeah. Oh yeah. I need to make up some or something. I'll start with how I really got into trading and how I fund that, because I think it's really an interesting story and kind of funny in a way. I think a lot of guys might be able to identify with this. So I mentioned before we jumped on, you know, I'm in IT. I'm a senior engineer in IT. So I'm fortunate to have a job that's in demand. So for years, I mean, I'm talking 10, probably 15 years ago, I was throwing myself this big birthday party. My wife is so annoyed by this. She's like, you're an old man. You don't need a big old birthday party, right? You don't need everybody to bring presents. It's good to go, man. Don't do it. You know, like it's expensive. And I was like, no, I love doing this. She's like, well, then make the money and come up with the money, right, to pay for this, because I don't want to pay for it anymore. I was like, okay, challenge accepted. So I went and I started doing a side hustle in IT, because there's little companies out there that have, like, you know, they have 15, 20 people and they don't have like the resources to go hire a guy. So I put myself out there. And I started being able to pay for my birthday. It all started because I had to pay for my birthday or I wasn't having one. So it was that important to me. But I kind of realized that it's sustainable, you know, through the 2008 economy crashes. I know you guys experienced that up there too. It got nasty out there. It sustained I lost my job. I got furloughed and then lost my job. I was able to pay the bills because of that side hustle. When I got into trading, I started funneling the money that I made used doing that into my investing account. And it's kind of just snowballed, like you said, from there. It's kind of fun. I was able to hit almost six figures last year, which I think it's not a brag. It's just a humble brag. I'm really proud of myself.
Yep.
I bought that sign behind you. As you can see, I have it lit. That's the name of my company, is Blackcomb. I know you know that mountain, so
very well.
Went skiing there once, and the name stuck with me, so I kind of like I used it. And I'm able to do things like fund my investing account, and it started because I had to pay for my birthday party because my wife didn't want to. So it cracks me up. It's funny. That's people ask how it started, and that's how it started. So. But I'm able to funnel all that money into my investing account and really try to turbocharge it. I use it for bills and stuff too. You know, it helps the family out. But at the end of the day, you know, I love doing it. I also, people see me post about beer. They see me post about, like, you know, spirits. I also moonlight as an events guy for a local brewery here in Southern California. And that's fun, you know, and that money goes into the investing account too. So I'm able to actually I don't really use my main income. I use that for the family, but I'm able to do these two side hustle incomes and able to fund this account. And I think I'm phenomenally lucky that I'm able to do that. And I don't take it for granted at all. You know, I'm extremely proud of what I've done. I think my free time is pretty minimal, as you guys could probably guess, but I just want to keep hustling, you know?
Yeah. So as you know, and so many others know, his name is Whistler. He's sleeping on the couch right there. So yeah, Whistler Blackcomb. It's pretty much my favorite place on the planet. I'd love to, haven't been there in years, but yeah, definitely need to get back. I do love that mountain. I'd love Blackcomb more than Whistler Mountain, but phenomenal place.
I went skiing twice back in my formative years. I'm not that, I'm 43 years old, but I feel like I'm old, but, when my legs and my knees were a little bit more cooperative, you know, I'd love to go ski, and we went to Canada twice, and it was a lifetime experience. I feel like it was.
Yeah.
I was able to go twice. I love skiing back then. I went 15, 9 times a year at least, you know, but again, the name for some reason, the name always stuck with me. So when it came to like time to name the company, I was like, I like it.
Yeah, Blackcomb's a great name.
Yeah.
And that also, segues into the importance of, it's obviously side hustles aren't for everyone, but if you can do a side hustle and can use that income, like have your regular job to pay your regular bills and then use your side hustle income to invest. I mean, that's obviously a phenomenal way of doing things.
You know, you look at it like it's much like, again, I see a bunch of guys do Amazon, they do eBay, right? Everybody, I'm very fortunate enough to have a skill set that is in high demand everywhere, right? So I'm able to easily like kind of translate that. I do eBay stuff too. And it's one of those things where regardless, like, you know, you can make, you know, $3,000 a month or you can make $100. You're still doing something, right? You're hustling to make it happen. And I applaud everybody. I mean, again, $5 or not, it doesn't matter to me. I think it's awesome if you put yourself out there, you try and you're trying to make it happen. I think that's cool.
Let's get into talking about some of the different companies or sectors that you invest in and why you like those companies. And I guess also sort of news this week, you being in IT, and was it Intel that had a massive dividend cut earlier this week?
They did. Yeah. We can start off with that. So I am not a current investor in Intel. Obviously a lot of the stuff that I do involves Intel processors. I mean, it's probably the most popular desktop and enterprise processor or the manufacturer of that you can find. I mean, there's others, but I know they've had a rocky go of things the past couple of years. I know that when they did their forward guidance, you know, they were talking about, hey, it's going to take us time to turn around, guys. And, you know, and then it came and bit everybody, you know, and it sucks. I was an investor in Lumen up until this year, which is a telecom provider down here. And they completely cut their dividend. They did to zero. So it didn't even cut it. They eliminated it. As you could probably assume, the stock tanked. Well, it didn't tank, but I mean, it went down a lot. Yeah. I got out right away. So, but it hurt, you know. I know the guys who are in Intel, I'm a firm long-term believer in Intel. I think Intel has a lot of staying power. Lumen, I lost conviction in. I was done. You know, I just had to get out of it. And I'm glad I didn't stay the course because the price really hasn't come up, but it's gone up and down. But I mean, I'm glad I got out. But it's an important lesson that these aren't guaranteed, you know, that this can change, can and will change. If you're paying attention enough, you know, I know some guys were, you know, saying that, hey, I saw this coming. And I guess you could see the warning signs, but some of it may be, you know, like I'm able to look back because it's already happened kind of thing. But at the end of the day, I want to find good, solid companies to invest in. And I feel like Intel is, I mean, they're around, they're going to be around for a while. I don't see them going anywhere, but it is a bummer that a bunch of people got, you know, bagged on that. So.
Yeah. I've lived through a couple dividend cuts these past few months as well. And I had one was at Algonquin Power in early January. And then I had a smaller one from one of my REITs back in, I want to say it was around November, but dividend cuts are never fun. But at the same time, you look at those companies and you say to yourself, well, they've obviously done this for a reason, for the cash flow. And this is management saying, hey, we need to get ourselves back on the right track. And, you know, Algonquin Power, similar to Intel, I don't think they're going anywhere anytime soon. So it's, you know, in the long run, these dividend cuts are probably a good thing. It just, you know, it hurts to rip that Band-Aid off.
You're right. Like you had, I think Devin did that too, didn't they? Didn't they remove it or reduce it or something? I want to say, I'm not an investor, but I want to say that they did something similar. I feel for that. You know, I in the energy sector, you know, like in that sector in general, I have Chevron and Enbridge. So two different, I think, companies, you know, in that sector. I mean, Enbridge, you're probably familiar with. I don't know if they provide your gas or not, but
I'm on propane. So out back here, there's a farm field and there's a gas pipeline that runs right through the field, like east west, but I don't have access to the gas from that pipeline.
Oh, really? It's one of those things where they tell you, like, hey, it's like 15 feet that way, but it's going to cost you $45,000 to run that pipe. Are you in? Yeah. Like, oh, I'm not in. Like, But I looked at Enbridge, and it's one of those things. I actually got the idea from watching a video that somebody posted. And again, like in the past, I would just blindly follow people, but I did my due diligence. I looked at it. They have a lot of renewable energy kind of thing, and I like seeing that. And so I jumped in, and added a position in that company. And I know there's been a lot of back and forth about the safety of their dividend right now, and how that works, but I feel like it's safe for now. So I'm maintaining it. Chevron, I can't believe I bought a bunch of shares like when I started trading because I get gas at Chevron. So I was like, hey, I'll just,
turn the cash register around.
Yep. And, so I bought Chevron when it was like $70 or whatever, because everything had crashed so damn hard. I can't believe that position now. I'm not fortunate like that on all of my positions. That'd be really cool, but it's just kick butt and take names, right? So I've slowly added to it, but it's a phenomenal company. And if you look at the numbers, their PE ratio, right? Their price to book and things that you look at metrics to see if this company overpriced or in the right area. The amount of money that company churns out, right? They're in a good, decent value spot. It's not terrible. So I've been adding to that position slowly too. So both of them I've been adding kind of in the energy sector, if you want to call it that. Like I've been, been going down that road. And it's always fun. The quarterly dividends are fun. Like especially the foreign dividends, because it does this little conversion for you on the I'm on TD Ameritrade, so the broker does a conversion for you from Canadian to American dollars.
Nice.
So it's interesting because when I started investing, I think my first two positions were Chevron and Microsoft. Microsoft, because I work in IT, I owe everything that I do to that company for the most part. So right. I was like, turn the cash register around, right? So I'm going to do that. But I realized that, quarterly dividends are great, but monthly dividends, that's an interesting concept, right? I hadn't heard of that before I started following some of these awesome accounts on Twitter. And so, moving on to the next thing, I started to get into ETFs, various ETFs. I saw everybody that follows me knows I talk about JEPI. I talk about JEPQ. Clearly a big fan of JP Morgan ETFs. That's not the only ones they have, but they're monthly payers, but they are high yield. And I feel like as part of a certain strategy, again, I'm maybe 20 years out, I think, from retirement. Sooner would be great, but I feel like building a position where those shares when they drip every month can buy 2-3 shares, I think is where I want to get to, and just let it kind of coast, I love having that monthly income. You can kind of like stabilize, like instead of having this crazy month and then like, you're like, everything's kind of, across the boards even or even ish. So I started to look into those. But the interesting thing is during that journey, I dumped myself hard. That was the beginning of my journey. I dumped myself hard into the QYLD, the global I can't remember the name of it right now. But so I dumped into that hard, and I realized that some of these ETFs, the way they work, they're not good growth names, right? It's not like the stock goes up and you get this dividend and it's this magic fairyland. There are negatives to this stuff too. And so I pulled out of that position. I lost conviction, but I kind of formulated this plan in my head of keeping 10% of a position at max at any point in time in my portfolio. As it stands today, I know some people kind of vary if they're more towards retirement, but
yeah.
So I was able to I rebalanced the portfolio a little bit to try to make it even. And it's done a lot. When that Lumen was a big part of my portfolio, what I talked about earlier, and I reduced the position pretty heavily. And I'm glad I did because I got, I got bit by it. But, I started adding to those ETFs. And then I again, through Twitter, started seeing like the SCHDs, the QQQs and stuff like that. And Devo, a dividend stockpile. Jeremy talked about Devo a lot on his Twitter. He did some great research. And all those monthly pairs, and then SCHD obviously being quarterly, really just kind of add this big, giant diversification to the portfolio. It just really makes it even more diversified, in my opinion, right?
Right.
So you're looking at these, adding these, and it's my favorite thing, though, is when you get to that benchmark where your dividends are buying a share, at least a whole share, every time they hit. That's so cool.
Yeah.
It takes a while. It can take a while to get there, but it's so cool to get there, though. Yeah.
So I agree with the monthly dividend strategy. I love my monthly payers. And my mindset there is, you know, when you do get to that stage of retiring and you're going to start using your dividends, well, the bills are still going to keep coming every month. So I want to make sure I still have income every month. And then with that said, I love the quarterly dividends too. I almost feel like the quarterly dividends are my bonus, right? I have these monthly ones that come every month like clockwork. And then every 3 months, somebody else pays me to not work for them. And it's like, oh, that's a nice bonus this month.
Absolutely. That's it. I think a balance of the two is great. I'm sure there's some people that just go all like VOO, SCHD, VTF, VIG, and then stick, keep it at that. And that's, I mean, it's super solid. When you get those dividends, they're going to hit hard, right? But I love the consistency of mixing monthly in there. I feel like you're right. I feel like it's consistent. Well, it's not consistent. Obviously, the returns can vary, especially with like something like a covered call ETF. But you have those quarterly always backing you up, right? So, I mean, everybody's strategy is a little different. That's what I love about the community, too, is that everybody's journey to get there is different. Portfolios are different. You know, their time to, you know, retirement is different. But we're all coming together sharing ideas, you know? So, and something like SCHD, well, I saw that on Twitter. I looked it up. I did my research. And I genuinely liked what it was. I thought it was awesome. So I started a position in it. And now it's much bigger than it was when I started, but it's one of those things that, you know, like I'm really happy that I added that to my portfolio.
Yeah, definitely. When I do finally start dipping my toes into the US companies, SCHD is the top of the list basically. So
yeah, I want to keep adding to that for sure. So like in the financial sector, we talked about a little bit briefly, I'm in JP Morgan. I find that I bank with JP Morgan. So again, turning the cash register around, they pay lousy interest for some reason right now. So, I'm definitely getting the money out of them. So
I heard you mention TD Ameritrade as well. So I have to ask you about the Canadian banks. Obviously TD is Toronto Dominion. And I'm sure you've seen the tweets on Twitter from several people about Canadian banks and how strong they are financially, how they have the longevity and consistency of paying dividends, some of them for close to 200 years now. And
I was going to say, I know like one of the conversations you were having with, was it dividend stockpile? You were talking about like the 1800s, you know, or something. I think it was that one. I was like, I had not looked, I mean, I've looked at TD Dominion, right? I looked at some of these Canadian banks. I hadn't, like, I have them on a watch list. I hadn't done much with them.
Right.
But hearing that, I hadn't actually done much DD, but hearing that, I actually went and looked. And yeah, you're totally right. I mean, these people these companies are rock stars in the dividend world. You know, they really are. So it's something that I need to pay attention to. The way I kind of operate with the portfolio now is I'll give myself like a weekly allowance to buy my weekly buys, you know, whatever have you. So like, I'll have this, and this. It changes every week. Not every week, I'm sorry. It changes every once in a while. I'll reevaluate. Again, if a position is getting a little too high, you know, and that like it's hitting like 11%, 12%, I back down and move to another position, right, to try to build that one up instead. So, right now, JP Morgan is one of my weekly buys. But I need to look at like TD and stuff like that, because honestly, having a little bit more diversification in the financial sector, which is something my portfolio is a little weak on.
Right.
It's not a bad idea. I do invest in in growth names, not just dividends. A company like SoFi, right? Like I own SoFi as well. I'm a long-term believer in that company. It doesn't pay dividends, but I want to, the idea behind the portfolio and the reason we're even talking, right, is dividends. So I tend to focus on those companies a little bit more than growth names. So.
Yeah. Actually, just earlier this week, I sold my three or four positions that didn't pay dividends. And I held on to just one, which is a lithium mining company. Okay. And my logic there is, EV electric vehicles and the amount of lithium that it's going to take for all those EV batteries. And so that's, I believe, the only one I have left in my portfolio that isn't a dividend payer, because I'm so much about the dividends. Like, just show me the money.
One strategy I learned recently, and you've heard of it come up here or there on some of the conversations you've had with others, is cover calls, right? So I was fortunate enough to, part of my weekly buys in the beginning was Amazon. Not weekly buys because it was $3,000 at the time. I'm not that crazy rich, but that'd be cool. But I was buying stock and I was able to get to 100 shares, and I've been selling cover calls on it. And it's almost like creating a dividend, you know, for a stock that doesn't pay one, right? Right. I mean, there's negatives and positives to every strategy, but I was able to kind of create a dividend with that. So one of the names, like SoFi and Amazon, are the only two that I have that don't pay dividends. Everything else does. So, and one of the companies I invested in the financial sector, I forgot to mention, is BlackRock. So I don't know why I forgot BlackRock, but I really like that stock. It's a really expensive stock.
Right.
But that company is a beast. So
yeah, because they own everything, right?
They own everything. Yeah, they probably own the sky too. I'm sure it's not written. It's sort of written down somewhere. But
yeah,
it's a beast of a company. And you know, like when we're having red days like we're having right now, you know, in the market, it can come down to like a value, like where I'm gonna start snatching some. You know, as part of my weekly buys, what I also do is I keep part of it as kind of a dry powder, I call it, kind of thing. Where like, yeah, if I see a chance, like there's just a crazy, crazy chance at, like, let's say, you know, I'm talking about BlackRock. Let's say BlackRock does earnings and it drops, you know, 5%. You know, not that day, but the next day when it drops probably a little bit more, I'll probably grab some, right? But I got to have some funds to do that. So having that dry powder kind of allows me to add those extra shares. You know, like yesterday was a crazy shopping day in the market, right? I had probably, I don't know, about $1,000 free. And I think I spent every penny. The shopping list looked like an actual grocery list, right? I mean, it was like that long, you know? So I just add, you know, and it was, it's great to have that ability to do that. The thing that's going to suck is now I got to build that back up. So, you know, next week, if there's this crazy, crazy like sale, I'm going to be like, I'm going to have to watch this one come by, but.
Yeah, well, and you're not going to catch them all, but that's, you know, an amazing, you know, just dollar cost averaging, having that, like you say, that cash on hand to be able to do that, even if it's only once every 2 or 3 months, or even every 4 months, whatever, and obviously not everybody's going to have $1,000 to do it with either, but if you have 200 or 400, 500, whatever,
yeah, right? Anything, right? If it's enough to buy, like, you know, like if your favorite ETF is SCHD, you know, like I have like. You know, SCHD was on sale on Friday, in my opinion. I would buy a share, you know, like I would definitely do that. The amount of money I have in dry powder, it changes because every week I put a certain amount into my brokerage account and I leave some left over, right? So it could be, you know, a couple $100, it can be up to it. I was lucky enough to have that level.
Right.
That doesn't always happen, but even if you're buying one share, right, that's forward income. And your future self is going to like be like, you know, like fist bump
for sure,
being a rock star, you know, back in the day and making our life comfortable, you know, 20 years from now. So,
well, exactly like that $1,000 that you invested yesterday or the day before, you just, all you did was give yourself a raise, right? You just,
yep,
just giving yourself a raise. You didn't have to go and ask your boss for a raise or
nope,
explain to anybody why you deserved a raise. You just gave it to yourself. No questions asked.
It's one of those things where you look at it and it can be hard because it's not there's no easy road here, right? I mean, it's going to take you time, you know, Master P, Samson, Dave, all these guys are talking about, you know, starting, like going to the payphone with quarters and calling and making a $50 charge for trading.
Yeah.
You think about that nowadays, that sounds insane, right? But that's how it was. You literally picked up the phone. And it costs you $50 to make. If you're buying, you better buy more than one share if it's $50. So,
yeah,
you know, the you know, we're paying, you know, like even if free or pennies on the dollar nowadays for trades, you know, as far as the commissions go. So you listen to these guys, they started 20 years ago, right? They started 2-3 decades ago and look where they are now, right? So it's not going to be that quick journey, but that's okay. That's part of the motivation of the DivTwit community. is being able to like sustain you through like those lulls where you're sitting there going like, maybe I should just use this for something else. No, like keep it going. Keep going. You know,
you're dividends are the greatest get rich slow scheme ever. Right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no joke. That or you know, bonds nowadays. I mean, one of the two, whatever works for you, you know, like, you're not pulling in crazy cash. But when you compound that with, you know, drip, when you're reinvesting your dividends and buying more,
giving it the time of that 15, 20, 25 year time frame.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. So it adds up, you know, but again, it can be discouraging because it's slow. And I think that, again, going back to what we talked about a couple times, is even if it's $5, I think that, you know, giving a cheers to somebody for doing that, I think it's awesome. I think it makes me feel great. I love that. It makes other people, I hope, feel great. I it's always encouraging, you know? So, yeah.
So another recent topic here on the passive mm-hmm. income podcast has been the number of different individual holdings people have. I've had some people with like 10 or, you know, 10 to 12. Other people like Jeremy, I was like, you really are dividend stockpile. I was like, you own them all. He had like, I think 70 or 80 different positions.
I think I was like, when I was listening to that, I was like, oh wow, damn. Because I've done the opposite, right? Like I've condensed, I've consolidated, but dude, that was awesome. I'm like, especially if he's been at it and he clearly knows what he's doing.
Right.
Like he's got diversity. He almost has his own ETF, right? Like he's got going on. That's awesome. But I don't have that many. I'm actually looking right now to see like how many I have. Cause I often forget.
Yeah, so Nick, last week I was talking to him, smart net worth Nick. I believe he had 56 positions, which even 56 seemed rather high to me. Others have been in the 30s. And I mean, obviously it's a very, you know, personal decision of what your comfort level is and how many different companies you want to hold in your portfolio, whether it's 10 or 12 or whether it's 70 or somewhere in between, right? Personally, I'm in the 20 to 25 range, and I'm okay with that. And I'm looking to add probably a few more, but I'm also looking to add on to what I already have. So,
I'm in the same range. It looks like I have about 22. So, a lot of what, and the reason, one of the reasons for that, I think, is that I consolidate a lot of the portfolio into ETFs. So, because it's not perfect, you know, but it's. Because they're diversified by their sheer existence, you know, like SCHD and the amount of positions it has, Devo, JEPQ, right? All of those different ones that have diversification built into them, right? Is one of the reasons I think branch out more into more positions. You know, and that's my strategy right now. My strategy is like, just like everybody else, has kind of changed over the years, you know, like the few years I've been doing this. But I feel like I'm in a good position. I don't know if I would. There are some, you know, some dividend companies like Procter & Gamble. Like I'd love to. I use a lot of their products, you know, just in daily life. I would love to add a position in that company at some point. I own 3M. I know 3M's been through the ringer, but I think every time you turn around, there's a 3M logo on something you're using. So, I'm diversified, I think. In the sectors that I own, but I'm also really strategizing using ETFs as part of that diversification versus having like more positions, you know, where I have all those companies instead of the ETF or even in addition to, right? So I've been focusing my funds on buying ETFs versus buying individual positions in companies, I guess.
Yeah, and for sure, there's no right or wrong answer to this, right? Whether you have 10, 20, 30, 70, whatever you as a person, individual feel is right for you. So like I said, there's no right or wrong. It's just been an interesting topic of conversation on the last several conversations I've had with various guests here on the podcast. So I just kind of wanted to hear what number you were at. 22 sounds like a pretty good choice, right? And I get it too, that how you want to, you'd love, you see all these other companies and you would love to add more, but at the same time, you're like, well, I've got these positions that I'd like to add more to those positions as well. So it's like,
it's never ending, right?
You allocate the funds.
I mean, I could have $1 million and blow through it adding the positions, right? Like, and it, so, you know, like you said, $5, $100, you know, $100,000. Would I add more companies to this portfolio? Probably. Would I like really like beef up these positions I have now? Probably. So
yeah, for sure.
It's an endless fight, right? If we get to a point in the market where, like, you know, again, I one of the things I learned, you know, watching like all these different like YouTube, you know, videos is, and just following the community, is really paying attention to where the stock is, right? What valuations it has, what, like really reading the numbers. That's something I just, you know, I didn't do before. And, you know, Master P always posts about RSI, right? That is one of the things I look at when I'm going like, hey, is this a value add? It's getting pretty low. Or is this like really overbought right now? Like, I need to stay away from this and let it kind of come down. At the end of the day, timing the market, I think there's a lot of conversation about timing the market. It never really works, right? Unless you're 100% perfect on when you buy and sell.
Which no one is.
For me, no. If you were, you'd be a billionaire, right? So if you if you're paying attention to some basic metrics and you feel it's a good time to buy, you know, for you, then that's what I do it. You know, I go for it. Like I mentioned earlier, like BlackRock is coming into a territory right now where I'm interested in adding to my current position. And you know, but I'm steadfast, like holding to my, you know, holding my ground, not hitting. It's tough. Sometimes you're sitting there going like, you know, I'm gonna buy, but I'm holding back, you know, I'm learning, I'm cool, calm, collected, right? Make sure that I'm not jumping the gun. And if I save $10, great, you know, but if it gets within a certain price range, like, and I want to buy a share, I don't think I'm going to blast myself for it, you know?
No, because that's what dollar cost averaging is all about. You know, in 10 years time, you're not going to remember if you bought a stock at $60 or $55. It's,
yeah.
Right. So,
you know, it going back to like 3M, like, you know, like I'm very fortunate that I also have a position in AbbVie, which is just a beast. I don't know about you guys, but I see AbbVie commercials, I think like twice a commercial break. So AbbVie's clearly spending marketing dollars. And they're a great healthcare like play for me. But for every like Chevron and AbbVie I have, where the position's doing really well, right? And even BlackRock, but I have like a 3M, which is not doing well. You know, I'm underwater, you know, like, you know, maybe like 5 to 10% on the position. They've had a lot of issues, you know, but I'm still maintaining it, right? So
sure, because like you said, 3M, they're not going anywhere. So if you might be 5% down now, but in 10 years you could be 15% up, right? So,
and that's the point. You know, I know they have their lawsuits, they have their issues. You know, J&J has some issues recently too, and the stuff's not going away anytime soon. But I don't see the company like going anywhere, you know. But I can't fault anybody for saying like, hey, you know, I've kind of lost conviction, I need to move on. I take my loss and move on, because I've done the same thing.
Yeah.
But it's
sometimes important. You just have to lick your wounds and bite the bullet and take the loss. And like you said, just move on. And it's much better for your mental health at the end of the day. It's like, okay, I'm not worried about that one anymore.
It is, you know, and but it's important for me to talk about the losers just as much as the winners. Cause I mean, if you follow not anybody really in our DivTwit community, but if you follow outside of that, which I'm sure most of us have, you see that people post winners nonstop. So it's like they're gods of the market.
Yeah.
And that's just not accurate. You can't win in this game 100% of the time, you know? So like I have positions that are underwater. Very, very true. You know,
yeah.
When I sold out of my QYLD position this year, I was negative underwater about $1,000. And it sucked. It was a tax loss harvest for me. So I was fortunate enough to be able to write that off, right? As part of my,
right.
It was a strategy, but I did take the loss, you know, and I posted about it and, you know, I think I just, if anything else, I want to just humanize like what we're doing. Right. I'm not a master trader. I'm not even an intermediate trader. I'm just a guy. So, but if I can show like the wins and the losses and stuff like that, I think it's important. You know, people message me about different strategies that I use. And I take the time to help them out, understand like how I came to the conclusion, right? I'm not a financial advisor. You know, nothing I say, everybody has to do their own due diligence.
for sure.
But if I can say like, hey, this is the roadblocks I hit, just so you know.
Heads up. This, you could run into this problem. And
like, hey,
you figure out your own solution, because I'm not giving you financial advice.
No, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And it's like, you know, like, again, for some people, this makes sense and this doesn't make sense. You know, I want to say that I've only a couple of years in, I got, you know, somebody like Sanso Dave or Master P could, you know, give us war stories of crazy things that have happened over the years that they've done trading. But, you know, in a small amount of time, I've been doing it, I've learned a lot. And again, through the community, through videos, through just research. And so if in any way, shape or form, I can pass that along to others, like, I was jumping the chance. And because I've made most of the mistakes, you know, out there. So I've had.
Oh, yeah. We all make mistakes and we all learn from them.
Yeah. Like, options and me really aren't friends, you know, as far as like just straight up buying options. Like, I don't.
So I am curious. It looks like you've been looking at your portfolio there as we've been talking. And what else do you have in those 22 individual companies? What else is jumping out at you right now when you're looking at your portfolio?
Right now, I have small. These are some of our smaller positions. I have MO. So you got Alteria, right? The group, Sin Stock.
Yeah,
I'm not a smoker, but I it was one of the original when I was reading an article on dividends that when I very first started, it was one of the it jumped out at me, and so I added a position. And it's not a very big position, but it is a position in my portfolio, and it buys a share every time the dividends roll around. So it's kind of my strategy on that. And nice. I've let it kind of run since then. It's, you know, I know some people, you know, I think it was Jeremy, right? Dividend Stockpile had, you know, it's not interested in that stock. And I totally understand that.
Yeah.
I think that was him, I believe, his video. So I keep maintaining a small position because I really don't think that smoking is the future of anything. So I don't go too crazy into it, but I have a small position. So,
right.
The other ones, a couple I have is a SPHD. That's the Invesco 500 high dividend, low volatility ETF. It's a solid payer. SPHD is the ticker symbol. If I muffled that in the beginning, it's in my Roth. So I have a Roth separate from my taxable trading account. I haven't grown it much recently because I've been focusing on positions like BlackRock.
Right.
So, but it's there. It's a small position. And then I have VYM. Everybody knows VYM, Vanguard. And that is a smaller position as well. But it's I've been growing that one slowly because it kind of, you know, like I said, I hit that 10% threshold just a couple weeks or this week on JEPI. So I hit 11%. So I have refocused that buy into VYM for now. So a weekly buy will be VYM instead of JEPI until that position gets normalizes a little bit. And then the last one, Dave, I know you're going to love this, is O. So Reality Income Corp. I know that I was Sandstone Dave, man. Why you got to ruin the streak? But like everybody else, I own O. When I was talking earlier about the monthly income for dividends, O came up early in the conversation. I mean, it's clearly a powerhouse, and they're known. I mean, they literally have it on their website, right? They want to be that monthly payer. And so it's my only monthly payer that is not an ETF. There's even weekly payers. I saw that recently, and I don't tend to, you know, it's interesting, but
yeah,
maybe I'll look at it someday, but I do own a decent position in O. I got scared or I got skittish when the recession was you know, when things aren't going great here, you know, and so it's come down a lot. And so I've been adding, it hit my weekly buy. So I kind of rotate my weekly buys now. I mean, I'll quickly tell you, so I'm buying JP Morgan, O and VYM right now. So weekly buys, my weekly buys right now. So I try to buy it on a red day, but it's funny because people say like only buy on red days, but if you have four green days and a red day, you should just bought on Monday, man. Like, yeah. You save yourself money, right? That red day is not going to make up for all the other ones. So again, back to timing the market, right? Like, nah, I just buy it. So But yeah, those that kind of rounds out the positions for the most part. I mean, the biggest position I have is almost a tie between Jeff E, BlackRock, and SCHD. So those are my big ones. I'm not Amazon's in that mix too, but I'm not going to count Amazon because it's not a dividend payer.
Right.
But I mean, owning 100 shares of Amazon, anybody can do the math. It's a larger position, or at least for my portfolio, it's a larger position. So, yeah.
So a few things for me to take away here. I love your strategy of, you know, that 10% cap in your portfolio. If something creeps up to 11%, okay, I'm going to not buy that for a while, and I'll rotate around to something else that might be at 8 or 9% of my portfolio and buy into that. Right. And then again, having those weekly buys, just keep adding, you know, and again, not everybody can do it weekly. Maybe, you know, just going back to the pay yourself first concept, most people like myself get paid every 2 weeks. So on payday, the first thing you do is put $50, $100, $400, whatever you can afford out of your paycheck, pay yourself first into your brokerage account, and then worry about the bills.
Yeah, for me, the one thing that TD drives me nuts, and I've talked about this on Twitter too, is that they don't allow fractional buys, which is the most annoying thing. TD, if you're listening, you're not listening, but that'd be awesome if you did. You should subscribe, TD. Fractional shares, guys, come on. ETFs, regular companies, this is the thing. You know, when I was talking about Disney Beach earlier with this SCHD challenge, right, which was, I mean, it's really spread. I have to, instead of doing like the dollar, adding an extra dollar every week throughout the challenge, I'm just buying a share. But it is because it's so darn annoying, right? Like,
yeah.
But I look at these fractionals, and I would love to buy like fractionals of something like QQQ or something like big S&P 500, like SPY, SPY. I don't want to buy a whole share, you know, sometimes, right? I just want to do those little like nibbles, right? And I'm so envious every time I see somebody be like, you know, I put $25 into this. I'm like,
Yeah. Would you consider just opening up another account that does have fractional trading?
I thought about it, but when TD got acquired by, or at least their part of it got acquired by Schwab, what the idea is by the end of this year, the account should be moved to Schwab. Schwab does have fractional buying on companies, not ETFs. From what I'm told, I don't have a Schwab account right now. I will. So I guess it's just coming. So I'm not
wait and see.
Yeah,
holding pattern,
right? Because like you know, like I'll you know, like you, you know, like I'll add to my portfolio every week, right? But I mean, it doesn't have to be, you know, again, hundreds of dollars. It could be $5, $10. After, and when I get to a certain point, SCHD's on sale, boom, buy, right? You know, you're making that forward momentum. But I know, so I'm waiting for that acquisition so I can. I thought about moving. But I really like the platform. It's a good platform. So I'll hang out for now.
Okay. So the message to the CEO of TD is to get fractional shares on your trading platform.
Fractional shares on ETFs and companies. And if you don't subscribe, busted. Subscribe. I want to see it. You too, Jamie Dimon at JPM. Let's go. Awesome. I'm a shareholder, so subscribe, damn it. But the end goal for me, Dave, is just taking the nibbles that I can take, which is, you know, those weekly buys, making sure I'm doing my due diligence by diversification, you know, and again, I know I've called a bunch of different people out, but, you know, like dividend stockpile, you know, like he talks about diversification, you know, and he was one of the ones that kind of made me realize that I was heavyweight in certain areas. And so I kind of like adjusted. Dividend Hulk is another one, you know, like he talks about different sectors and stuff like how he balances his stuff. And so I've taken a lot away from the community. And my hope is that anything that I've said, hopefully I've given somebody some inspiration or just talked about the way that I do things. And maybe there's a way to adapt that to your strategy that works. I think that's awesome. You know, again, it's all about community.
And sharing ideas and
yeah,
exactly like you just shared your strategy, which I think is amazing. I think people will take some positive value from that and be like, and maybe apply something that we've talked about here in the past nearly hour to apply to their investments. So yeah, great.
Absolutely. Just, and I think I posted this the other day, just get started. You know, it's, it can be something as simple as like, you know, like the VOO is doing his own challenge where he's buying like $5 a day in VOO. Hey, yep. That's starting, right? That's awesome. Do that. Don't be afraid to post. If anybody's watching this and they just started and they made a dollar with Starbucks, post about it. That's awesome.
You'll get a lot of likes on that $1 dividend. Absolutely. Like a Twitter post or a tweet. That gets a lot of likes because people are like, great that you've started. Mm-hmm. And watch that snowball grow.
It's $1,000 or you know, a dollar. I think it's something to be proud of. And I want to see them all. You know, I want to see everybody post, you know, and I'm excited to see them when I do. So,
yeah, me too. Me too. And I'm sure you've seen me tweet. I call it the Moneyball reference. Just get on base. Yep. Just get on base.
That's a great, great movie. Oh, it's such a great movie.
And
Brad Pitt, Jonah Hill.
And I really feel like, you know, it's impossible to be the leadoff batter and hit a grand slam. You can't do it, right? There's no possible way. If you're the leadoff batter, you're not going to hit a grand slam. So don't try to hit a grand slam on the first stock you ever buy, because you're 99.999%, 100%, you're not going to do it, right? Like,
this market has a way of humbling you extremely quickly. So dividend investing is something where you can sleep nice and comfy at night. You know, there are trials and tribulations. This, like, sure, any strategy, it's not, you know, it's got its cons, but I was not great at options trading, and, you know, I held overnight positions, and I'd wake up to negative $300 and I'd have a heart attack, you know, and that's not for me, you know. Like, it's, some people love it. That's great. But
Yeah, but now you just see that $300 go into your account every month or 2 months or every quarter, whatever mm-hmm. it happens to be.
Yep.
And you're like, well, I'm okay. Like you said, you're sleeping better at night because you're not worried about it. It's just like, I posted yesterday. I'm like, oh, a dividend showed up in my account. I didn't even see the notification on my phone. I'm like, oh, that's great. I mean, it was only $12 and change, but you know what? That's $12 and change that just appeared magically out of nowhere.
Could you imagine, like, so when you started, you got that, not started, but when you have that $12, and then, like, let's say, like, 20 years from now, that $12 is, like, $200 or whatever have you, right?
Yeah.
You can think about, like, my goal personally is try to get to $1,000 a month, right? Like, you know, I think it's obtainable. I'm not too lofty. You think about making $1,000 a month for just holding assets. Like, you're just holding them, and you're getting paid for that. And that money could be used for, you know, like, whatever in retirement, you know? I mean, it's a part of my retirement. You know, again, I have my actual retirement from my employer. I have, you know, other things. But, you know, it's money I wouldn't have had.
Yeah.
That's cool. I think that's awesome. You know, you think about it in smaller numbers, it's kind of hard. That's where people get tripped up, right? But you think about the bigger picture, and you look at people who have been through the journey for a couple decades. Hell yes.
One of my hard things to do when that $12 shows up is to not spend. So my account doesn't have drip. So all of my dividends, I reinvest like manually. Yeah. So I'm always like, should I just buy one more share of something that's like a $10 stock? Or do I wait another week when I have another $12 go in and then I have 24 now? And then as soon as that I have 24 there, it's like, oh, am I going to buy? Should I buy a share of something that's $20? Right. Or should I just wait until there's $100 there? Right. So
it's my strategy with the, it's very similar for me in BlackRock. BlackRock is, it's in the high 600s right now. Not the most, budget style stock, right? Not even close.
Right.
So when I build up towards buying those shares, it's a buildup. I mean, it's not a easy stock, you know, to money wise to obtain. So like I have enough for a share and I'm like, do I get a share? Oh man, I could do like, you know, 10 SCHD instead. Like, I don't know. You know, and it's just kind of like, you have this conversation with yourself, sometimes out loud, might seem like you're crazy, but you come to a conclusion at some point. But maybe I'll do SCHD this time and I'll do BlackRock next time. I build up, like I said, the dry powder situation I talked about, right? Building up that extra, like, kind of not part of your weekly buy strategy or strategy, but it's just there in case you see something that's just crazy value add, you know, building up on that. Sometimes I'll hit a point where like I can buy a share of like Chevron or something like that. And I'm like, or I could wait and get some like Microsoft. I don't know. You know, it's then you go back to like, you know, like, where's it at, right, in the market? And I don't think I ever win that conversation with myself, as silly as that sounds. But I, me and me come up with a good strategy. So
awesome. Well, I feel like we could keep talking for hours, but I do see we're already over an hour. And
yeah, I know.
I do want to thank you. I do want to thank you so much for your spending some time with me.
Sure, and I'm more than happy to do so. Like I said, I hope anybody that's watching this, I hope I was able to help you realize some things maybe that could help you. I think that would be awesome. All the DevTube community is very supportive of each other, and keep posting about that stuff, guys. You know, I love seeing it. I love interacting with you guys. Dave, you better subscribe to this man. This guy is
subscribe.
This guy's doing the Lord's work. I enjoy everything that you do, Dave. Thank you for doing this with everybody. I mean, it gives a little guy like me a chance to get on something and talk about what I do. I'm very grateful for that. And I love watching everybody else that comes on. The conversation you had with the three the other day, the kind of the round table that you had was really awesome. Yeah. I really enjoyed watching that. So I keep it up, man. Like you're really, I love watching that stuff. It's insightful, and just keep going.
Thank you. That means a lot. That means the world to me. And yeah, you're exactly right. This is, you know, why I'm doing this is to try to give everyone a voice and try to bring the community together. And mm-hmm. you know, the positive feedback that I've received from the community has just been amazing. The amount of people like yourself that have been willing to come on it and sit down for an hour with me and have a conversation. I mean, we're all passionate about the topic, so it's very easy to have a conversation. Right. But yeah, it's just the amazing support of everyone who's either been a guest or is going to be a guest, or even if you're just watching and subscribing. And, you know, it's amazing. So thank you to everyone. Thank you, Tim. And... subscribe!
Subscribe!